Please turn in your Bibles to the prophet Isaiah and chapter 57. Isaiah 57. And we'll take up the reading at verse 8 and read on into verse 1 of chapter 58. Hear God's word. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word, for the privilege of being together in this short time of worship. We're glad that each day we are able to come together to sing your praise, pray together, lift our voices to you, hear your word, and be blessed by you as your people. So we pray now that you'd do your work in our hearts as we look at your word. In this short time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Friday, here in chapel, Dr. Spear talked to us about the necessity of vigorously preaching the gospel. And he wanted to exemplify this by proclaiming God's truth and calling us to Christ. This Tuesday, Professor Williams looked at Psalm 133, and one of his objectives, at least, was to look at the imagery in the psalm and to help us understand that this imagery and understanding the imagery is useful. It helps us grasp the message of the psalms and of other portions of Scripture. Our passage this morning brings these two things together. Some imagery. The imagery of healing. The imagery of the wicked, like the tossing sea. And the imagery of the trumpet. The gospel call. And so what we look at this morning basically is this imagery and the gospel call. And your need and my need to heed the call of the trumpet, the gospel trumpet, and to come to Christ. This is our text, it seems to me. And as we get into this text, we ought to realize that Isaiah in chapter 58 is moving on to the last section of his prophecy, in which he is really bearing down on the restoration of Israel. And hence we get this idea of the call of the gospel. But before Isaiah gets to that gospel trumpet, he reminds the Israelites and he reminds you and me that wickedness and those who are wicked are like the tossing sea and have no rest. Look at verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You see the simile there. The wicked are like the tossing sea. And of course, the wicked are those who are lawless. And the world is full of lawlessness. And the sea of humanity is the idea here. the surging, tossing, tumultuous sea of humanity. And in that sea of humanity in which wickedness prevails, there is no peace. You see that at the end of the verse. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And there can be no peace while any of us abide in wickedness. There's no quietness. Look at the text again. For it cannot be quiet. The sea cannot be quiet because of the tides that move in and out, because of the winds that push it to and fro on the surface, let alone the times of storm, of real storm. And the text tells us that the waters toss up refuse and mud. You've seen this sort of thing, haven't you? Where the waters churn and the refuse from the bottom is dredged up, literally, and bottles and boxes and tires come up onto the shore. Symbolic of, it seems to me, of the evil and darkness that might be dredged up from the depths of the soul. There is no quietness or rest for the wicked. But now the prophet indicates that healing can come for the wicked. And the only way that healing can come is from God Himself. Look up to verses 18 and 19 in the text. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of lips, peace to him who is far and him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. I will heal him. I've seen the ways of the wicked. And the ways of the wicked will perish, as the psalmist says. And how is it that individuals are brought out of darkness into light, out of wickedness into God's kingdom? It is only by grace. It is only by the sovereign work of God. I have seen them, but I will heal him, the text says. And this whole idea of healing, we first think of as physical healing. But physical healing and the healing of the soul, the healing of the spirit go together, do they not? When Adam sinned, of course, we know that we sinned in him and fell with him. And Adam was sent out of the garden. He was no longer eligible to eat of the tree of life. He was sent out of the garden because of his sin. And later, he died physically. First, he died spiritually. Then he died physically. The two are tied together, are they not? And when Jesus healed the paralytic, you remember the story, how he looked at the paralytic and he said, your sins are forgiven. But after the grumbling of the Pharisees, who is this man who says he forgives sins? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus turned to the paralytic and he said, that you might know that I have the power to forgive sin, get up and walk. And so the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension are tied together. And we know in the end that these bodies will be raised from the dead and glorified, and all illness and sickness, incipient death though they be, will be conquered. Healing comes by the grace of God. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating praise of the lips, or the fruit of lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and him who is near. Shalom. Peace comes from healing. Peace with God. And peace with one another. I want you to look at a text in the New Testament now. Those of you who have your Bibles, look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul quotes this text. And he indicates to us that it's Jesus Christ who comes preaching peace. Peace to you who are far off, and peace to you who are near. And he indicates that this peace is indeed a peace between individuals, because ultimately it is a peace with God. Let's begin in chapter 2 of Ephesians at verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, you Gentiles who were formerly far off. You see, Paul is talking about you and me. Those of us who were formerly far off. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, Jew and Gentile, into one. Reconciliation. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself, in Christ, he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. In the Old Testament terms, shalom, peace between individuals, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity. And he came. Who came? Christ. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to you who were near. And why did he do this? Why was the gospel always designed to go to Jew first and then the Gentile, so that humanity might be brought into one body, thus affecting peace? Not only peace within that body, but then verse 18, for through him we both Jew and Gentile, have our access in one spirit to the Father. This is the ultimate peace, is it not? That you and I might have access to the Father. That the turmoil that resides within, the turmoil of conscience, the anxiety of mind, because of troubles in family, because of troubles, yes, driving in on the parkway. I've never grumbled, oh, yeah, yes, I have, about driving in on the parkway. The anxieties that arise because of work in class. Am I going to be able to accomplish the tasks? Peace. Peace comes through Christ. And this is what Paul is indicating to us about Isaiah. Back to Isaiah chapters 57 and 58. And so what do we have? We have this turmoil of the wicked, like the tossing sea. And we have the healing that comes about by the grace of God. And what is the means? Isaiah 58:1. Cry loudly. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. And declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Raise your voice like a trumpet. In the Old Testament, the trumpet was utilized as an announcement. It announced the need of the people to come together, perhaps for a time of war. It announced the inauguration of a king, the trumpet. But more importantly, the trumpet was blown over the sacrifice. It announced the sacrifice. Grasp the picture. Here is the sacrifice on the altar, in the tabernacle, and later in the temple. And the first two instruments ordained by God to be played in the tabernacle were the trumpets. Two silver trumpets. And they were blown over the sacrifice to announce that sacrifice and to remind the people to come, because in that sacrifice they found atonement for their sins. And so it is today, is it not? That the gospel trumpet, the voice spoken concerning the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, announces the gospel. And this is what you need, and this is what I need. We need to hear this gospel over and over and over again. This gospel of reconciliation to God and to one another through Jesus Christ. Look at our text again. Cry loudly. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yes, the call is to declare sin. But where there is the negative, there is always the positive. Repentance and faith go together, do they not? Conversion is a two-sided coin. And when the prophets preached repentance, the implication was turn away from sin and turn back to God. Repent, therefore, and return that your sins may be wiped away. It is always repentance and faith. And it is this gospel trumpet which must sound loudly, clearly, powerfully. Turn with me again in the New Testament, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. And just a couple of verses here in Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 10 in Revelation 1, for example. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. There's the simile again. There's the comparison again. The voice like a trumpet. Cry out like a trumpet. And whose voice is this? Verse 12. I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet and a girdle across his chest with a golden sash. Who is the voice? It's Jesus calling. It's Jesus Christ calling. And when Isaiah in Isaiah 58 chapter 1 says, cry loudly. What he is meaning here, I think, is proclaim clearly, forcefully, the truth of God, the gospel. And when you hear the truth of God forcefully proclaimed, Jesus Christ is calling you to come to him. And he's saying to you and to me, come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. I will heal you. I will overcome the anxieties in your mind. I will overcome the turmoil in your heart. Come to me. This is the gospel call, friends, to come to Christ. Dr. Speer said to us, reminding us that it's possible for you and I to sit in this seminary and to read these books which are assigned and to be outside of Christ. He reminded us of Abraham Kuyper, who, after he completed his doctoral studies and served in the church, was confronted by a godly woman in the congregation about his status in Christ. Let this not happen to you. Heed the gospel trumpet. Come to Christ. Our own brother, Dr. Scipione, has told us, I didn't come to Christ until I was in seminary. I have a brother, well, I should not call him a brother. I know a man that I worked with for a number of years in the ministry, and he fled his congregation with another woman. And when I confronted him myself and said, you need to repent, he said to me, if I had it to do over again, I would do exactly the same thing. He ran from his pastorate in sin and refused to repent. Let this not be the case with you. Heed the gospel trumpet and come to Christ. Every time you open the Bible in class and look at the doctrines of Scripture, this is the opportunity presented to you. Heed the gospel trumpet and come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Forgive us of our sin. Open our hearts. Heal us. Open our ears to hear your gospel, and turn us in faith to Jesus Christ, we pray. In his good name, amen.